Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. And you know, if my voice is just a tad bit hoarse, it's because I have been talking to thousands of people at the Colorado State Fair, and beginning today, Saturday the 5th, at the Eastern Idaho State Fair. Both of them great events, by the way. And I was going to give you, in this show, kind of some optimistic thoughts. You know, I don't bring you doom and gloom, I bring you facts, and the facts are rather dark right now, I think we'll all agree. But the bottom line is, we have lots going for us. And, ironically, some of the dark clouds which are overhead, and the even darker clouds which are scuttling toward us at warp speed, intentionally wrought by folks who don't like us, who happen to run the country, that's really a bright side. You're probably scratching your head and thinking I've gone daft. Well, perhaps. You know, I drove, I haven't had any sleep in about 36 hours. Well, I got an hour worth of cat nap. But last night, driving from Pueblo, Colorado to Blackfoot, Idaho, which is about a 12 plus or minus hour drive. Not much for Western standards, but a stretch. I was I was thinking about this show, thinking hard about it actually, and I had a couple phone calls I had to make, and I made those. I had a meeting in Cheyenne. I was going to be heading west on I-80 and then up through the backcountry of Idaho and a little corner of Utah to get to Blackfoot. And after thinking about the show for about an hour, making a few phone calls, and I'm not making this up, I guarantee you, I wish I was, I put in the new Threads West CD. I'm sorry, not CD. You know, right, we're all creatures of habit. The new Threads West thumb drive. Of course, not being a techno whiz, it took me a few minutes to figure out exactly where to plug it in. In the F-350, the dash kind of pops up. There's a center deal, and there's all sorts of whizmos and gizmos and things to plug this and that and the other into, and I finally got her going. And you know, they are terrific. I mean, this is the first time I really could sit down and listen to a book of mine. This happened to be book one. And enjoy it. You know, with unfettered thought and lots of time to listen and kind of the white line zipping by in the darkness underneath the big knobby tires on the truck. They're great. I mean, Jack Baird just did a rockin' job. And I say that without any bias. If I had picked up that audio book just, you know, off the shelf somewhere, truck stop, Barnes & Noble, wherever, I would have thought the same thing. I was really delighted. It was a big treat. But I digress, because you're probably wondering why I only got an hour's worth of sleep in the last 36. And what I-80 West has to do with anything, particularly, I might add, the subject of today's show, which is some positive thoughts about America. Well, I always have positive thoughts about America. Shall we say, the silver lining in the dark clouds which are hovering around us. So, I'm engrossed in the book. I'm listening and listening, and I'm driving. And, you know, my mind had been on other things like the radio show just before turning on the book, which I was kind of looking forward to, really, for the last week or so. And I'm driving and I'm driving, and all of a sudden, off to my left, I see these buildings. It's like a complex, you know, and it's a sizable complex. And there's like a town, you know, not very big, but certainly a town with red lights and, you know, stoplights and gas stations and, you know, the usual assortment of fast food places. And on the buildings that said Cabela's World Headquarters. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, it's been about 6 months since I drove this stretch of I-80 west. And, I can't believe they built that so fast. But this is Wyoming, and we are the superhumans, so it's possible. And I'm scratching my head and scratching my head. And, you know, it hit me after a while, and this might be sleep deprivation, which kept the thought from occurring sooner. But I was traveling east. You know? I wasn't in Idaho, folks. I was in Nebraska. So, to make a long story short, cursing myself, muttering, I won't repeat my mutters. Cursing myself, I turned the truck around, and instead of getting into Idaho at midnight, which had been my plan, I got into Idaho at 6:30 in the morning. And today was setup day at the fair, so needless to say, it was quite tumultuous, and I didn't get a lot of sleep. It is very early in the morning on Saturday the 5th. I'm pre-recording this by several hours, so I can get a couple hours of sleep before meeting lots of great readers and folks from Southeast Idaho tomorrow. But I want to leave you. I want to leave you with some thoughts. Actually, I want to start off with some thoughts. And you know, you're going to go, "Oh my God! I thought this was going to be like a positive show." Well, it is. Bear with me. You know, the hysteria in the media, the hysteria in the liberal ranks, the Black Lives Matter stuff, George Soros pumping tens and tens of millions into progressive frameworks to prop them up, Barack Obama running around like a sullen American-hating fool that he is, trying to ram this through and ram that through in the Iran deal, which, by the way, is not a good thing for us, to put it mildly. But the reason that this is happening is that, very rightfully so, the folks who run this outfit, who have poorly managed this outfit for 40 years, and who have become, in the last 6 or 7, corrupt, crony capitalist ideologues who don't give a damn about the American people. And I don't mean, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, they don't give a damn about you. I mean, not one iota of a damn. But they're starting to panic. Think about all this hyperbole that's floating around. You know, Hillary Clinton has compared Republicans to terrorists, but she supports Planned Parenthood dissecting live babies. Jorge Ramos says being temporarily ejected from a press conference in which he acted like a raving activist fool is worse than a Cuban dictatorship. Clinton's camp suggests that Trump's immigration plan resembles Nazi Germany. Then there's columnists who are writing about the death of the Republican Party, the death of conservatism, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I think these progressives sometimes believe their own dribble. I know they kind of overlooked this, but let's see. Conservatives have the largest state legislative base in history. That is, they have more state legislators, and they control more legislatures than ever before. They control a large majority of the governorships. They control the House and they control the Senate. Although, let's face it, with some of the rhinos at work in both places, it's a tenuous control. So, I don't think we're seeing the death of conservatism or the demise of the Republican Party. I do think the progressives are panicking. You know, particularly with Hillary caught in lie after lie after lie after deceit after lie after deceit. With 70% of the American people steadfastly against the Iranian deal and now 34 moron, traitorous Democratic scumbag senators voting for it, which is enough to block it because of the morons in the Republican Party who stole power from themselves. I talked about this several shows ago. Instead of a 67 vote requirement as specified in the Constitution to ratify this treaty with Iran, which it is. It is a treaty. They instead kind of reversed the process so that it takes 67 votes to override Obama, O'Kane. What? I think the establishment, folks, is running for cover. And I think the establishment is running for cover because they're reading the tea leaves, so to speak. That's kind of a double entendre, you know, the Tea Party, the Boston Tea Party, the Revolution, and of course the polls. There was a Quinnipiac poll, which might give you kind of a framework of understanding. 2%, this was a bipartisan poll, Quinnipiac, you know, there are some pollsters who lean left or right, and they, I don't think they fudge the numbers, but they fudge the samples they get the numbers from. In Quinnipiac's poll, 2% said they were very satisfied with the way things are going in America. 41% said they were very dissatisfied. That's a 20-to-1 ratio of very unhappy to very happy. That's huge. The overall numbers were 71% dissatisfied to 28% satisfied. But I think the two really interesting numbers are the two varies, quote unquote. 20 to 1. 2%. I bet you it's the same 2% who's very satisfied. I think they must be zombies. Or maybe they're the capitalist cronies of Obama. Maybe they're owners of Cylinder who pocketed $500 million of our money. 2% said they trusted their government. All the time. Wow. Whew. You know, I got some real estate I'm going to sell them. All right. The Republicans in Congress have a 12% approval rating. 81% disapprove. The Democrats are right behind them. And I think after this Iran deal, we'll surpass them in those lousy numbers. And why are people pissed and upset and not trusting the government? Besides all the obvious reasons, they lie, they steal, they cheat, they enforce laws in different ways for their friends and enemies. I mean, I can go on down the list. We've all talked about it. I'm not going to do it again. But when people see ISIS is winning the war against our civilization, when police are being killed simply because they're in uniform, when radicals rousted by the White House, Al Sharpton and George Soros, shout death to the pigs, pigs in a blanket, when the Chinese and Russians hack into millions of federal records. By the way, part of my show next week is going to be on how we're getting our butts kicked in the cyber world war that's going on right now, when we shouldn't. Once again, all Obama's doings, we're just sitting back and taking it. When the Veterans Affairs Administration fails veterans, I've had several shows on that, and it has not gotten better, folks. And although they gave the new VA administrator the authority, finally, to hire and fire, let me emphasize that word, fire, terminate, nada, yet, you're gone, see ya, bye, don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out. The new VA administrator in a year has fired one person. Think about that. One person out of tens of thousands. And nothing has improved. In fact, it may have gone downhill. Okay, when the border remains uncontrolled, when taxpayer-funded professors impose politically correct language that strikes, you know, 90% of Americans is weird. You sure you heard about that professor up there in Washington who was going to give failing grades to kids if they use the word illegal alien? Really? Really? Wow. Even though they are illegal aliens? Yeah. And 46% of the respondents would like to choose a candidate. Actually, that's 2 months ago. Would like to choose a candidate who has never been in office. That number has jumped to 56%. That's a lot of voters, folks. Yep, a lot of voters. And you know, it makes me think that the upcoming election makes me think that that giant, that Yamamoto, after bombing Pearl Harbor in 1941, you probably have heard the words, "I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant." The sleeping giant, folks, is us. We are empowered by the Constitution. We are empowered within ourselves. We, not the White House, certainly not this White House, not the Capitol, not Washington, D.C., with all its deceitful and devious, greedy nonsense going on. We are the shining light on the hill. Because we are America. You know, I have a thing in my books. These are your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers. They are you and they are us. It is a story of us. It is why I write those books. And I think what we're seeing here, and this kind of brings me to, the positive thoughts. What we're seeing here is a great awakening. I'm 99% sure of it. You know, after being at the Colorado Fair for, I think it was 6 days, talked to thousands of people. I mean, literally thousands. I talked to 300, 400, 500 people a day. This will give you an idea. I went through over 400 cards in 6 days, and I don't give them out to everybody. So, after talking to these people and seeing these people and sensing their anger and frustration and sensing just how fed up people really are, I really think after a long time of sleep, the American public is waking up. They're waking up to a president who's trying to fundamentally transform all aspects of American society, including, by the way, by shifting its demographics, a la his immigration policies. Trust me, it has nothing to do with the poor kids from Ecuador or the poor family from Mexico. It has nothing to do with them. Because he couldn't care any more about them than he cares about the blacks in Baltimore, or the whites in Wyoming, or the Oriental folks out there on the West Coast. He doesn't give a big blank, fill in the blank. Neither does anybody in his White House. Neither do any of the shadow government he has installed. Oh, no. No, no, no. And neither do the Democratic senators that are still left in the Senate. And unfortunately, neither do a few Republicans here and there. Boehner, Mitchell, etc. So, with all this doom and gloom, this Iranian deal, you know, we're probably going to lose a city or two before we get that under control. This Iranian deal, North Korea, I mean, I can go down the list of things, you know. 50 million people on food stamps, 90 million people on government assistance, 96 million people leaving the labor force, etc., etc. Why am I telling you there's a silver lining? Because of us. Because we, capital W, capital E, are awakening. It is so in your face. You know, there's an old saying my dad taught me. When pigs are fat and happy and hogs get slaughtered, that means it's okay to cut a good deal, but if you get greedy, you're going to lose the whole thing. And the progressives got greedy over the last 6 or 7 years. And their greed is really manifesting itself now. So the bottom line of all this is that the people are awakening. Americans are awakening. And that is a very, very, very positive thing. In fact, it's the key thing. Some of the other things we have going for us, let's see, we got as much oil, if not more, than Saudi Arabia. We got more natural gas than anybody except for Russia. So we have all the energy that we need. We have the technical capabilities to build solar, at least on a house-by-house basis, and wind on a house-by-house basis. The big solar, you know, where they're putting, like, the mirrors over 10 square miles of desert, that's crony nonsense. Distribution lines are a very, very, very important part of electrical power. And sticking a bunch of glass out in the middle of the Mojave Desert and then pocketing half the $200 million it takes to get the line somewhere to somebody who can use it is not my idea of alternative energy. Individual applications are beginning to work very well, and they're actually becoming more and more reasonable, though still more expensive than a typical heating and cooling system. Wind applications on a house-by-house basis, you know, a little 25-foot windmill and turbine. Yeah, they're working fine. And it's a great source of alternative energy. It's the big mega plants that don't work. And I don't think that ever really will. So we have energy. That means we can do stuff. We can build stuff. We can make stuff. We can stay warm. We can cook stuff. We can travel. We can be mobile. We can bring money and goods and services and ideas all across the country. This is hugely positive, despite what the progressives have done to undermine the fossil fuel industry, along with Saudi Arabia right now, who's keeping its production up to keep prices low to break the American entrepreneur. We have a huge land mass, folks. It's huge. I gave you that little story about driving around. Understand that to go from Blackfoot, Idaho, from Pueblo, Colorado, is 12 hours. And I don't drive slowly. I mean, we're talking 600-700 miles. To be able to do that is a huge positive thing. And to travel across that much country, most of it without lights or roofs, is an awe-inspiring thing. It's huge. Because under all lies the land. You extract your energy from it, you grow your food from it, it creates oxygen for you through its vegetative communities. And let's face it, it fills your heart when you see it. So we're blessed with loads and loads and loads of land, which Obama's trying to screw up with all sorts of federal designations. We'll get into that another time. We're blessed because, despite all the clamor and uproar about, oh, the Asians are beating us in technical stuff and electrical stuff, and these guys are beating us in this, and you know, Italy is getting the fast food deal, and I can go on and on. It's all good. You know why it's good? It's good because it's going to be part of the cleansing. Stay with me on this for just a moment. A third thing we have going for us is we are an industrious set of people. We are motivated by profit. And I don't mean in every aspect of our life, but I'm talking about in terms of business, doing, accomplishing. And we are about to be unleashed. Actually, I said that wrong. We're about to unleash ourselves again. And the progressives and the Washington elite and the scumalogs who do their bidding, they don't care. They couldn't care less. There's another silver lining. Another huge, hugely important thing. We have technical capabilities beyond anybody's. We just have to employ them, a la my brief little teaser for you about a part of next week's show, which is how Russia and China are dismantling us in a cyber sense, and what dangers and ramifications it could have, particularly since they have all Hillary's emails. And you know, we have lots to eat. Another good thing. There are many people in this world who are starving, who eat just rice or potatoes. It is America's kind of a wonder. It could feed the world, really, if you would unleash agriculture. We are bound by a common language. Now, Barry and crew are definitely trying to change that, you know, and all the PC companies, you have your choice of Spanish or English, but the bottom line is, we're an English-speaking country, and we are bound by our language. We are bound together. And everybody else needs to cover things. They need to deal with it. There's a really interesting thought that I had too. We're blessed with our geographical location. Now this was really true in the 18th century, in the 19th century. You know, we have a huge run of coastline. We have Alaska. We have the West Coast. We have the Gulf Coast. We have the Atlantic seaboard. You know, the oceans are in many ways keys to commerce. They still are. Oh, yeah, we're not sailing in a three-masted schooner and all that kind of stuff, you know. A three-masted ship of the line from the United States Navy. But We are us, folks. And many of you who listen to this radio show are survivors. You will survive. I've told you for a long time that bad things are coming, and they are. But the bad things are really the seedlings, the catalyst to the genesis of good things to follow. Maybe not in our lifetime, depending upon how old you are, but definitely good things to come. And yes, are we going to take it on the chin on our currency? I think the odds are great. And yes, are we going to suffer some monumental terrorist attack? Probably at the hands of Iran or one of their surrogates, and using the bomb that Kerry and Obama said there can't build with this agreement. Probably so. Do we stand a risk while this president is in office where people are scared to even mention it to him? To talk about it with one another? Really? Look, no matter how dark things get over the next 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years, keep this in mind. If we stand united, there is nothing we can't do. In the end, you know, it all comes down to people. All the technology in the world, and all the oil in the world, and all the land in the world, and all the food in the world doesn't mean diddly squat if you are not a cohesive group, shall we say, that can partake in those great gifts. And that is why we are the most important ingredient to this. And that is why what's starting to happen, this almost palpable panic of the progressives and the establishment, this wild skewing in the poles. I mean, and it's steady, too. I mean, the erosion's every day. It gives me hope. Because for the longest time, I got to tell you, we were in the dark. Many of us were in the dark. We didn't want to be bothered. We wanted the opiate of the Super Bowl. That was more important to us. Oh, yeah, I can get into my producers whispering at me. Yeah, I can get into all the other positive attributes that we have. We have a sterling military despite Barry's attempts to dismantle it. I'm not sure how the morale is right now, but it's a sterling military. It needs to be built up more, not torn down. You know, we have the capabilities, really, to build anything we want faster than anybody else if we cut through the red tape and just get her done, i.e. World War II. Now, the dangerous part is this also makes us a target. And, you know, there are nefarious shenanigans evolving between North Korea, Iran, China, and Russia. And that's not good for us. And there's an array of economic forces out there beginning to line up, well, they've been lining up for years, against the dollar, and that's not good for us. We have this mountain of debt overhanging us, the $62 trillion in private debt, the going on $20 trillion in primary national debt, the $110 to $220 trillion. I've talked about this ad infinitum, and by the way, my producer is going to have a link to this is a three-year-old show, Greece is California. That was the name of the show, which, by the way, was picked up by Fox News about 2 weeks later, Greece is California. As long as you survive what's coming, you will be able to play a role in shaping the restoration of America for your kids and for your grandkids. And for their kids and their grandkids. I agree with Marco Rubio. America's best days are ahead of her. But between now and those best days that are ahead of her is a big trough, folks. I don't think you want to miss this country rising from the ashes. It's going to be magnificent. Every bit as exciting, every bit as stirring as when the colonies rose from the ashes of British tyranny almost 240 years ago. I don't know when it's going to happen. I think it's beginning right now. And I find that really positive. And it's my pleasure, I must say, in writing my books and in doing this show, even though they have an infinitesimal effect, to do my role in getting us from where we are, through the storm clouds, through the tornadoes and the hurricanes that are coming our way, to an even better sunny side on the other side. I thank you for listening. I thank you for reading. I am actually going to try and catch 2 hours of shut-eye here before I get totally daft. And then I'll be signing books at the Eastern Idaho State Fair tomorrow. So all my friends in Idaho and Utah, Northern Utah, please come visit in Eastern Idaho. I'm sorry, Western, okay, Eastern Idaho and Western Wyoming. Please come down and say hi. Would love to see you. If my speech is slurring and my eyes are drooping, you know why. But I will be signing there for the next, 6 days, 7 days? Kind of a long gig. And then I'm back to the ranch, which I'm very much looking forward to. Book 4 will be coming out pre-Christmas. That is what we are shooting at. We're going to have some blogs, etc. And book 5 after the holidays. I'm back in the saddle. The house is 85% put back together. Although there's still more work to do. Let me tell you, water does a lot of damage. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side. You folks have a great week.